And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Professor Brenson, who in 2019 had a near-death experience where he went to the next dimension, and we're going to learn about it. Professor Brenson, thank you for joining me, and welcome.
You're more than welcome.
Professor, let's start on the day that you had this NDE and go from there.
Okay. In the spring of 2019, my wife was taking me to the hospital in Chicago near downtown, Rush Hospital, because she wanted me to get a colonoscopy. And I got into a small argument with her. And I had my cane because I was supposed to get a hip operation. I said, I'm going to do that in the next few months. I still have yet to do it. But we got into an argument. And I said, why do I need a colonoscopy? I've been eating plant-based food for nearly 50 years. My organs, my veins are not cluttered with cholesterol. They are as pure as the snow, clean as possible. I don't need a colonoscopy. She said, shut up. So-and-so. I won't use the curse words, okay? And so as we got on the elevator and she got a wheelchair, I was sitting in it and she wheeled me up to the fourth floor to see the doctor who was supposed to perform this colonoscopy. And I said, oh, we forgot to go to the bank. You know, I need to get some money. She said, you be quiet. You're going to go through this. You know how wives can be like that. So I pretended to be impact and I said, okay. So as we got up to the fourth floor, about to enter the doorway, I was in the wheelchair, and I noiselessly and without pain died. Later on, discovered it was a heart attack. That's what the doctor said. But when I died, I'm out of the body, just like Patrick Swayze when he got killed in that movie, Ghost, with Whoopi Goldberg, Demi Moore, and Patrick Swayze. Mm-hmm. But when he got killed, he didn't know he was dead. I knew I was dead because I could see the individuals around me and they were cutting off my expensive jacket. I was with my friend whom I had met close to 50 years ago in India. And he had followed a certain teacher who taught him how to consciously get out of this body, how to empty the consciousness out of the body. He said, when people die by accident, one day they'll discover that whatever is achieved by accident can be consciously reproduced. I didn't want to believe him at that time. But as time went on, he met me in the hospital, which he said he would meet me anyway when I die. So when I met him, he said, cut out this foolishness. You can always get better garments as you go into another dimension. I said, okay, but I want to see the sun. So as we left the physical hospital, because there's no gravity once you're in that ghost body, that ghost body is made of refined matter. People cannot see it, but you can hear everything that's going on. As a matter of fact, your five senses that you have locked into this body get released and enhanced. You can hear far away. You can even hear the thinking of people, which they call telepathy. You can actually hear what's going on in their head. As a matter of fact, telepathy is the normal means of communication as you go up into the other dimension. So as we flew in a fraction of a second, we went out into space. I wanted to see the sun, a huge nuclear explosion. Just everything is exploding, but I didn't feel anything. He said, let's get out of this boring experience. Let's go further up. So as we left and went through a dark area, which we call a tunnel, we went into a tunnel. I met individuals that I had known in the 1800s. They knew me. I knew some in the 1500s, even earlier periods. I didn't know everybody, but some of them were trying to come back through the tunnel. And they said, well, where are you from? We understand you're from America. I said, yes. Where about? I said, I'm in Chicago. Well, could you give me your phone number and your address? I said, of course. Knowing that when they become a baby, their attention will drop. They'll come into this dimension and they'll be suffering from spiritual Alzheimer, okay? They won't recall. I knew that would happen to them because it happened to everybody. Not everybody. A few people take birth with memory of who they were in previous life. but that's a small percentage. So as we go through the tunnel and go into the astral plane, that's that next dimension, which is the kindergarten of the spiritual world. Or you could, I would say elementary school. Let me call it elementary school, because there are different stages in the astral. As you go into the middle portion, you meet people who are ready to take birth again, but they working on projects. You meet great scientists, great medical people of the past. You meet different type of inventors, people who are working on these projects. When they come to Earth, they take their attention, which is the most important part in this body. They learn there, when they come here, it's easy to become a great musician. I'm sure you heard of stories where people can play the piano without learning how to do it. It's automatically in their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
There are people here who come up with invention, like Henry Ford came up with the automobile, a assembly line. You have people like who discovered airplanes, which didn't exist in the 1600s. These people come up with these gadgets, telephones, movie projectors, which evolve over time and become more sophisticated. So those like Steve Jobs, he's dead. He will come back and improve, because he died at an early age. He will improve the computer system and the telephone system that he worked on here. These people are working on projects at that level. Athletics activity are taking place. People go there and practice different athletic activity. A few come back with the skills here, and they become great performers. And they make a huge amount of money, but I can go into that later. But anyway, when you get into the astral plane, compare it with the physical universe. The physical universe in its totality got trillions and trillions of stars and planets and all kinds of debris. That universe, this physical universe in which we live in, would look like a quarter, the size of a quarter, compared with the totality of the astral plane. The astral plane would be like the Pacific Ocean, and a quarter in the Pacific Ocean would be the entire physical universe. It blows your mind when you see such a huge space. But as I moved into that universe, I said, can I meet? You see angels there? They somehow are performing, what, helping people on Earth. But they know these people from previous lifetime, most of them. Then you can go up and meet higher administrators. In the olden days, when religion was developing, we would call these people gods because they have so much power. The chief god of that region would be like the president of America. That person lives to be 5,000, maybe 6,000 years of age. The average lifespan in that region is from 3,000 to 4,000 years of age. Just like on Earth, the average lifespan is about 76, 80, maybe 100 if you make it to 100. But in that world, your memory comes back that you were there earlier. So you don't question your memory. In this world, we don't question our memory. We know who we are. We know how long we've been here. The same thing happens there. You know. So nobody can convince you, because the physical world is a world of uncertainty. That world is a world of certainty. But uncertainty in this world is necessary in order for you to seek certainty. And if you seek it intensely, you can get lucky enough over several lifetimes, because it's not in one lifetime that you achieve the ability to consciously vacate this body. This body that we wear is like a costume. It's a physical costume. But we think the body is us. And 99% of all human being problems are related to the fact that they identify with this body. This is me. I'm Black. I'm white. I'm Jewish. I'm this. I'm a woman. I'm a man, female. We change sex even when we come here. People don't realize that in Chicago, in the gay parade, you have thousands of people, over 500,000, walking around acting like they are in an opposite body. Some of them can't even wait on reincarnation. They go get transsexual operation without having the knowledge. They're neither male nor female, but they don't know. You got to go much higher to discover your soul. So at that level, you feel that it's the highest. All of the heavens and hells are in that world. And that feeling that it's the highest takes place with mostly everybody who clinically die, because they clinically die through accident and trauma, exactly upon the physical body. The people who do meditation, and get out of the body without a guide, a teacher who's gone beyond that world. They also are deceived that that world is the highest. But anyway, let's go through that space. I wanted to see the president of that world, the big administrator. My teacher said, why see him? He'll be begging me to go higher. And I have to tell him, in order to go higher, you have to come back to earth, because only on earth that you can meet someone who can take you higher. All these religions have started from human beings with different levels of consciousness or different levels of dimension. And since we may be talking to a Christian audience, Christ went very far inside this body. You can tell from their teachings, those who talk of love, love your enemies, which looks crazy. Somebody come in your house and take your coat, give them your overcoat. We can discipline ourselves in the religion and practice this. But the natural way is to know you're not this body. And you've got beautiful garments inside, beautiful clothing, beautiful mansions. Now, in this world, everything is done through thinking. We think, we hire somebody to do a design of a house. They design a house, but they do architectural design. They hire contractors. Contractors make it. In that world, you just think and things can be created without effort. It depends on your ability to concentrate and think. If you can think intensely, people create beautiful houses that are floating in the sky because there's no gravity. You can fly. You can, thinking is the primary thing that we do in this world and in that world. Thinking is what gives us identity, but that's not our identity. But we feel I'm so-and-so, so-and-so because my mother gave me a name or father gave me a name, and we respond. Somebody called you Jeff, you turn your head. Professor, I turn my head. We don't turn the arms and the legs. Our consciousness is flowing from behind these two eyes. I call them windows. These are two windows that we peep out of in this body. We got two holes here at the nose, nostril. We pick up scents and smells from these two holes in the body. We got two earlobes where we hear voices, we hear people talking, we hear music. We communicate through the mouth primarily. And how many holes have I counted so far? I'm sure your audience, if they know normal arithmetic, will say seven. But you have two more holes in the body. You got a hole at the reproductive organ, which most men live out their entire lives thinking about that lower level. Their attention is constantly running down there. Women know what these men do. If they use their intuition, they will pick up on it. But the average woman, when she's a teenager, the hormones are flowing. The man uses some beautiful poetry and rap music and say, I love you, I'm care about you. And then he hit it and run. A lot of these young girls are getting pregnant because they're being tricked. And after they discover, they say, oh, I knew that boy was just playing with me. You know what I mean? I should have listened to my father if they had a father. So I'm saying these things are happening in this world because of karma, something you've done in a previous life, which you can't understand in this life. You can understand it once you go there. Because once you get into the higher part of the astral plane, time itself can be suspended. Just like having a remote, you can stop time. If you're eating something or enjoying some type of pleasure, you can stretch it. In the astral world, you can also, time become like a vehicle that you can travel backwards in. You can go backwards so far, depending on your concentrational ability, and see how many lives you've had, how many, what has happened in history. History is on a video stream. In this world, people write about history, but they can put their opinion in. If you're not lived in the 1700s, you can believe what you've seen. But in that world, everything is more perfect. There's no imperfection there. Everything is perfect, more perfect than in the physical world. That world looks exactly like this world. I remember you saying something about people can see animals there. Animals are more intelligent. They don't have to attack people there. In this world, you've got two types of species, violent species, non-violent species. What do I mean when I said non-violent species? On Earth, it's been estimated that there are 8,400,000 species. The violent species mostly have sharp teeth, like scissors, and they sweat through the tongue. Not the cows, but the tigers, the wolves, the lions, they sweat through the tongue. You have a few exceptions, but the nonviolent species, they sweat just like human beings. They sweat through the skin. They have flat teeth like human beings. When they eat food, they only eat plant-based food. They are nonviolent species, so they eat nonviolent species food. Why? Because when they eat that food got certain medicine in it. 95% of the effective medicine throughout the world comes from plants. The pharmacy, those industry know this. They get certain plants and they chop them up and turn them into pills and they sell them in the pharmacy for a huge amount of money. They're making billions of dollars. We don't realize this. Dr. Hippocrates, who lived 2,000 years ago, he is the famous physician, which all medical physicians pledge their oath, do no harm. They know that phrase because they can't get their license without pledging to them. But Dr. Hippocrates, who was in Greece, he had another phrase which they've forgotten. Let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. They don't know that. So when people eat meat, they're going against the way in which the body is made. The animals that are made to eat meat got the equipment to kill on their body. They can naturally kill. They can eat the meat, the hairs, the bones. They won't vomit. But if we as human beings try to bite into another animal, we can't do that. We'll throw up from the blood. We're not made like that. But we can go eat some apples, watermelon, peaches, plums, strawberries. My friend that I have known came to Chicago years ago, and we spent a lot of time. He made a prediction. He said, in America, a lot of people will move and gravitate toward plant-based food. And I know, Jeff, you said you used to be a vegetarian. It's naturally happening because people have this compassion. Every human being is born with different degrees of animalism in their body. Some people can become serial killers. They're not fully human. They can kill without too much guilt. But most of us, when we drive an automobile, you can ask anybody this job. If an animal runs in front of their car, can be a chicken or a squirrel, without thinking, Jeff, the first instinct is to put on brakes. Because the nonviolent DNA make them stop. They don't have to think. It automatically make them stop because they're not killers. But he said there will be companies like Burger King, he mentioned, will have an impossible burger that looks like meat, tastes like meat, made from plants. And people will gravitate. And Burger King has gone into that direction, and they have it all over the world, over close to 10,000 restaurants. These places are changing. The American population will change because they're in a state of spiritual evolution. And you look at the whole country, not everybody, but they help other countries politically. They're into aiding people with 5% of the population. They got 25% of the world's wealth. You have greedy people here too, but I'm just saying, I'm just connecting all these strange things. But let me go on beyond the astral world, okay? He didn't want me to meet the president. He said, forget this man. He'll have to take birth again, okay? Because those positions are limited time, just like in this world, limited time. But everybody is more beautiful in that world. I'm looking around, everybody's handsome, beautiful women, beautiful men. They don't need Botox. They don't need plastic surgery. They can just think and keep their body young. They do the same thing here. Let me put on makeup. Let me get my eyelashes. Let me put on some cream. Or let me go get plastic surgery. They're doing the same thing by thinking here. You understand? But beauty is rampant there. Universal. In this world, you find ugly people, they can make themselves look pretty by putting on a wig and some lipstick. You understand? Beauty is rare. So as you go higher up, the supreme force that's created this universe is extremely rare. He does not localize himself in the lower worlds. He got administrators, spiritual administrators, angels, okay? If you go beyond that astral world, that elementary school, you go into the causal high school. That school is called the causal world, where everything, all causes exist in that world, of everything, including the cause of knowledge. Knowledge is created in that world. Knowledge is not real either. The creator can create knowledge. He can make knowledge disappear. In this world, you get information. And you never can get precise information because there's always uncertainty. The famous scientist by the name of Werner Heisenberg, when he was looking at the atoms and trying to go deeper into the invisible world of atoms, he ran into an obstacle, which he called the uncertainty principle, because he could never get exact reality. Everything is relative. Einstein discovered that too. So let me go on. Music is the thing which can take you out of this body. All the religions of the world talk about a strange noise that when people hear, when they clinically die, they don't know what it is. When they read these holy books, whether the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, the Mahabharata, the Vedas, the Adi Granth, all these holy books started with people who concentrated their attention and got out of the body and went to some extent inside the body. There's a hole in this body. I described the lower part of the body, the reproductive organ, and then you got the buttocks. That's the nine doors, which you defecate and get all of the debris. But there's a tent door. The tent door is right behind these two eyes, about an inch behind these two eyes. Somebody called you by your name, even though your consciousness is flowing throughout your entire body, your arms, your legs, your feet, your toes, you will turn the head because you feel you are localized in the head. You are. You're sitting right behind the eyes and your consciousness is flowing throughout the body. You don't turn your arms when they call you. You in the arms too, right? But you don't turn it. You on the sixth floor of this body. There's a specific location, sixth floor. But we spend our entire life as human beings on two floors. The wakeful state is the sixth floor. When we go to sleep, we fall to the fifth floor in this area of the throat. People who practice yoga, they call this a chakra. This is the sixth chakra. This is the fifth. Then you can go down to the fourth and the third. But it's dangerous to practice this without a teacher. Because when people get hit in the head or they have an accident, they go into a coma. They're breathing. The doctors can't find them. They know they're somewhere in the body, but they don't know where. Doctors don't even know about these floors. Person is in those floors, but they can never become unconscious. Consciousness is structured in a way where you can never become unconscious. When you go to sleep, this is what happens. You become fainter. A vagueness take place in you, and your memory start collapsing, and you fall right here. You get into a state of unforgetfulness of this world every night, and you immediately start snoring. You don't know you're in the bed in the physical world snoring. Your mate may say, be quiet, go see the doctor and get some, put it over your nose so you don't snore too much. So people are snoring, but the mistress doesn't know you're dreaming about other women's. You're having a good time there. You go into a swimming pool. Let me slow it down. Let's say if you could control the dream, which you can't. If you could control the dream, you can have a dream of getting into a spaceship, going out in space and seeing all of the stars. You can see the moon. You can travel on Earth. You can come back to Earth. And you can meet people walking in the street of a busy city. And you can see an old lady with a grandbaby in a buggy crying for milk. You can also see a man on a ladder asking for the man on the ground who's younger to give him a brick. You can go into a restaurant and eat food and drink a Coke. It tastes exactly like Coke in the physical world. The meat food tastes exactly like it does there. But what happens when you wake up? Nothing is there. You have the capacity, just like the creator, consciousness can never get shut down. It can only go from one experience to another. And when consciousness gets locked into a framework, it can create time and space. That's what we do when we dream. Nobody can doubt the space that is there. They feel they're walking. They can't even doubt the water that they can drink or touch. Your senses are reduced, but you can still feel. But one thing happens, you would rather have the qualitative experience of this world. Because when you wake up from the dream and come here, everything is qualitatively better. If you understand how I'm using that word qualitatively. So if you taste something in the dream, you rather taste it here. If you make money in the dream, you'd rather make it here, right? Because you feel this world lasts longer. The dream only lasts a few hours. So therefore, you work hard and struggle, but something can happen to your attention. You can get caught up in the material acquisition. And whatever you put your attention on, it picks up some of the qualities of whatever you put your attention on. So these spiritually advanced people said, keep the company of people who are moving toward something higher. What is something higher? We have many purposes we're born with. I got to go to school. I got to get my education. I want to have a family like my father and mother. I want to fall in love. You know, we think that way. I want a big house, cars. But your real purpose is to seek your creator. You don't want to be around anybody who wants you to just give them money. Hey, take care of me. Even your children. Tell daddy, give me some money. Get out of here. Or woman, I want a car. You want somebody that loves you. The creator rarefied himself because he wants the most precious thing you can give him, which is pure love. Those who have gone to the highest region, with their teachers who are from the highest level, they don't want anything. They just, I just want to be around you. Burn heaven and hell. That's what one mystic said, Mirabah. I just want to be with you. I don't care about heaven or hell. Because when you're with the creator, you got everything. You get all of his happiness, all of his joy, all of his power, everything. And he makes you one with himself. Christ talks about that. I and the Father have become one. Nobody understood what he meant. But as you go into the causal world, things start changing forms. Everything gets to a point as you go higher where you actually become one with everything. But that's a counterfeit experience. It's not the real experience. It's a high experience. People live in that world for millions of years. The average lifespan may be 500,000 or a million years or more. And the God who controls that world or the administrator also has to come back here. But he or she feels that's the highest, because when you live in long periods of time and you got power over everybody's destiny, everybody's karma, you determine what life they're going to have in the astral, what life they're going to have in the physical, in the God and the astral, determine how long you'll live, how much money you're going to make. We tend to think we have free will. Jeff, we don't have free will. Now, let me tell you how the creator did this trick. We don't know, well, we all know from all the religion, that the supreme creator has all knowledge of everything. He's everywhere present, but we don't know how he's expressing himself everywhere present. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, okay? And all-knowledgeable. So when he created you, he knew you would be wearing a blue sweater or yellow tie, blue shirt. Mm-hmm. He knew I would have on a turtleneck black white jacket. Trillions of years ago, he knew it. How he knew it? Because he wrote the script. He created all of this. Okay? And so when he created it, he knew. But you don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen to you next year. I don't know if you're married. You know if you're married. People get married and they end up divorced. If they knew it, they would never get married, right? Many of them said, no, this woman just out to get my money. Or this man just trying to exploit me. Or this person going to end up killing me. I don't want to be with them. But if they got to go through the karma, a veil of ignorance is over the consciousness as a child so that they can go through the karma. Because you cannot expect, resist karma. Karma is cause and effect. When you're in the world of the three worlds, the physical, the astral, and the causal, you reap what you sow. But the sowing does not have to take place in one lifetime. Why would a person take birth knowing that they would be mentally retarded or blind? That's how they get rid of a lot of karma, by coming into this world. You can only pay off karma when you're a human being, but you also can create karma. How do you create it? By making decisions. You think you're doing something, and therefore you're creating karma. I'm going to kill this person. I'm going to make money. You can become a billionaire in this world. But after 6, 7, 80 years, you lost it, right? You're gone. You can go down to hell. You can do so many things that can create karma. Look at what's happening over in Israel now. Babies being beheaded, soldiers being shot, women getting everything. But what did they do wrong? They feel they've not done anything wrong. There was one woman I saw on TV the other day. She said she fed her captors. They came into her house, and she was in the house, and she had talked to her husband before they got in there, and he was, I think, a general. He said he'll be there. So he grabbed his pistol and said, I'll be there. He got in his car, collected some soldiers, and as he was on his way there, she started singing songs, spiritual songs, cooked some food. But before eating the food, they say, you eat it, because it may be poison. So she ate the food. And when they came through the window, they shot him. So she was able to survive, and she told us on CNN News why she was spared and somebody else get killed. Karma. There have been airplane crashes where everybody got killed except for one person. Karma. We said, you lucky. Luck looks like luck, but you have struggled by seeking something and concentrating your attention. So therefore, you can win $1 billion in this world. You can buy one lottery ticket or 10 and end up winning everything. So when the lottery ticket or the prize become billions of dollars, people go and buy lots of tickets. But when it's maybe $1 million, they say, no, they know they're not going to win. But they can win at that level. So I got lucky and won a spiritual lottery. The wealth that I've gotten from my teacher goes all the way up to the third stage. But God is in the fifth stage, he says. But when you get into the third stage, where you cross the mental world, which that being feels he or she is God, but he's not because of the power. But once you cross that world, you go into the world of self-realization. For the first time, you realize that you have a soul. Otherwise, when you come from that world, the soul get trapped by the mind, and the mind get trapped by the senses, and the senses get trapped by the physical body. So this body, the physical body, the astral body, and the mind are all coverings upon the soul. They like prison houses. So as you get released, you can go to halfway houses, better halfway houses, okay? And then when you get your freedom, you discover that you are made of the same stuff that the Creator's made of. You are a miniaturized version of the Creator. Because when he creates, he's creating, I'm gonna say something strange, because I don't think you ever heard. The Creator is everywhere. All the religions say he's everywhere. So if he's everywhere, he only can create illusions of himself. Why would he do such strange things? Because he's full of love. The real Creator is overflowing with love, like an ocean, a tsunami. And when you got so much love in your heart, you feel lonely. So loneliness, depression, all of that come from him. But he spread it throughout the creation. He give us some of it, and he can then, by regulating his attention, stay forever happy. And when he get tired of this experience, he can pull it through some spiritual black hole and start all over again. So that's as far as I went. I didn't want to come back. My teacher said, you have to come back because you have responsibility and duties to take care of. So let me go into the one more thing and then I'll end. Consciousness functions a strange way. Consciousness has the capacity to create an experience at the same time, simultaneously. So therefore, you can never tell the causal direction until you go to the causal plane. Another thing about consciousness, it functions through attention. Attention is the face of your soul even in this body. Attention is very powerful. When people put their attention on something, let me give you an example of a couple of scientists. George Washington Carver was a black scientist who was a slave, but he loved the study of plants. And after he got out of slavery, he put his attention on several plants, but two in particular that he loved, the peanut plant and the sweet potato plant. And he would put his attention on them, and through what he thought was an accident, the knowledge of how to come up with rubber from a plant, he actually made rubber by rearranging the molecules in the peanut plant because he studied chemistry. Henry Ford and him lived, they were comrades. You know, they lived at that time. Not comrades, but Henry Ford met him and offered him a six-figure job, which was like $1 million at that time. Carver turned it down. He could not understand it. So he's discovered by meeting his secretary that Carver would spend the wee hours in the night in his laboratory studying plants. He never got married because they castrated him as a slave. So his interest was in plants. And he told someone that I met in Chicago, Dr. Fulton, who was on the South Side. And I had studied him in school. So she said she knew him. I said, what? Tell me about him. How did he come up with over 400 different discoveries and inventions just from the sweet potato plant and the peanut plant? She said, I asked him that question. And he said, the plants talked to him. That was a metaphor, okay? So I discovered that consciousness, the attention is the most important thing you have in this body. He was one. Einstein never liked mathematics. He said, because when he came up with that famous equation, E equals MC squared, that changed the whole nature of the physical world. And people start wondering, how could he do that when you never studied math? They asked him why. He said, math is too hard. It's got too many disciplines. And you could spend your entire life studying geometry, trigonometry. I don't have that many lifetimes. But he also ate plant-based food. Carver ate plant-based food. Einstein ate plant-based food. Leonardo da Vinci, Mozart, some of these other figures in history, Socrates, Aristotle, all these figures that we read about, Shakespeare, they all ate plant-based food. You may not know that. I thought I'd throw that in. And for people who want to learn about stuff like that, they can email me directly. They can email me at prolbrinson@gmail.com. Or they can contact the i-seek.org. It's an institute. It's i-seek.org. Or we call it the I-Seek Institute, located in Chicago. And we can help people to respond to their questions if they have any questions. I know I said so much, and I'm explaining some things now that I should not have said, but you wanted me to talk about other areas, right? Now, also,
before you go there,
I had one more death.
Okay.
Where I was taught how to consciously get out of the body. Now, that's rare. That was in the 70s. My teacher was teaching me that there's a way to consciously get out of the body. But the death experience I had in Rush was a what looked like a heart attack, but I didn't experience anything. He took me out and took me up. And I begged him to let me go higher. He said, no, you got to come back. You got a lot of responsibility. You got to take care of family, kids. You're going to meet everybody. And that's why I guess you pulled me back too, Jeff, and your audience. So I don't want to thank you, but I will say thank you. Any questions you got, please ask.
Professor, thank you for sharing your experience with us. What did the angels look like?
Okay. I'm glad you asked that. In the astral plane, the human beings look just like the human, except that your body is full of light. Everything is light up. Even the heels got music. Your body got music. It's a distinct DNA harmonic expression. Julie Andrews, who played in that song in the 80s. The hills are full of music. I don't know if you saw that song, that movie. The Sound of Music.
Oh, yeah.
Julie Andrews. Mm-hmm. So everything is full of music in that world. So as you see the angels can change their form to some extent. They flying around. They don't need wings, but some of them dressed in different costumes, you know. We can see angels, they can look just like human beings. Everybody look human in that world, but they in a physical I don't want to call it physical, but an expression like this. As you go into the causal world, then the forms can change. You don't have to look human. You become almost formless. The creator at the highest level can take on any form, or it can be formless. Your soul has no form. It's just pure consciousness, okay? We can't even imagine that.
Would you say that the other side is more real than here, and this is the dream?
Yes. Just like you would say the dream, when you drop to the throat center, is less real when you wake up, right? So when you wake up there, you feel you are 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years of age. That's what gives you the feeling of reality. Plus, everything is more perfect there. You can always find imperfection here. Even the most beautiful woman would look ugly compared with the woman, her form there. These women are trying to add makeup and make look pretty. Marilyn Monroe, Marilyn Monroe would look like a strange woman to her beautiful form in that world. Everybody's handsome and pretty in that world, the astral plane.
After you came back, were you angry or depressed that you were back here and wishing to go back?
Yeah, I had one problem. I had one problem, Joe. I could never get depressed. I'm always happy. That's the problem I got. It won't leave me. I don't want to get rid of it, but that's how I feel. Because all of your problems is associated with your identification of this body. No human being can think of any problem that he or she can have which is not associated with the body. Once you get out of the body, you solve all of your problems, especially if you can get out of the wheel. All your problems are solved with one stroke of the pen. Because you discover that the costume is a costume.
If you had a friend that was suffering over the loss of a loved one, what kind of advice would you give?
Okay. Anybody who is suffering, anybody who's depressed of anything, be quiet and seek the company of happy people. And ask them questions if they're more wise. Because if you go around them through a strange experience of spiritual osmosis, you automatically pick up the qualities of the association you keep. Gangsters keep the qualities of gangbangers. Politicians keep the qualities of politicians. Athletes keep the association of athletes. Birds of the same feather flock together. You won't find a pigeon flocking with a swan, right? We are made like that. We automatically, and that's a good thing. Because you don't have to do anything but be in the company of an advanced spiritual being. But if you can be in the company of any happy person, you'll experience happiness. But if the person got more knowledge and more wise, don't try to tell them anything. Ask questions. Because you only can ask questions in this body. You only can seek. Seeking is asking questions. Therefore, if you go in the higher region without an extremely advanced being, that being who's at the highest level, which we consider to be God, will come to this world and pick up his flock. Like Christ said, I come for my flock. They recognize my voice when I call them, like a sheep or shepherd, right? That's how they use metaphors. So it's hard to unravel these metaphors. You'll understand when you go up there why they use metaphors like that.
How did you change after your NDE?
That's a hard question there because, what you mean, psychologically?
Yeah, I mean, how did you change as a person?
I experienced a strange type of love constantly percolating in my heart. And this love is coming from another source. So the love is there all the time. And I don't experience any loneliness. I used to be lonely. As a matter of fact, I got depressed when my brother got killed before I got on the spiritual path and met my teacher. I went through some of the same ups and downs. Every human being goes through ups and downs. But if you can have a clinical death experience, and those who wish to read about it, Dr. Raymond Moody wrote a book, and he was on Oprah Winfrey back in the 80s. And he wrote a book entitled Life After Life. And all of the people that he visited in the hospital and gave him permission. They all heard this music when they died. Some of them called it a noise, but they didn't know it was the Creator toning down his vibratory energy. Like in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That word is a sound. It's not words or nothing but sounds, right? And music, if you listen to certain kind of music, you can get high, you can feel happy just by listening to certain kind of music. They're happy music. Then you can listen to hard rock and make you depressed, want to get on drugs and act crazy, right? So music can affect the human being. And women who have children, let them listen to Mozart and some, you know, classical music before they get in the rap, okay?
After your experience, did you notice that you had any new abilities that you didn't have prior that could be considered psychic?
Yes, but my teacher said he will protect me from those. He said a lot of people, when they practice meditation, sometimes they can pick up these abilities on their own. And the first thing they want to do is go out and heal people. And when they heal people, if they've not gone far enough in the body, they pick up the karma of that person, which brings them back to this world. So that's out of ignorance. People eat food out of ignorance. They eat animal food. They pick up the karma of how the animal has been slaughtered. That animal is experiencing pain. If you ever visited a slaughterhouse or looked at it on YouTube, you say, wow, they cut off the leg. Ooh, they cut the throat of a cow and the blood come out. Nobody wants their body cut. Those animals experience pain. So we experience, if you're more compassionate, then you're more of a human being. So to answer your question about, what was the question again? I kind of lost my train.
I wanted to know if you had any psychic abilities after your NDE.
Yes, if you get psychic abilities, your intuition can improve. Just like you can use intuition in this body, it's very difficult to use it as long as you situate it in the body. But you can get a strange feeling. Oh, this person is like this. I hate that person. I like this person. You don't know why. Your life does not necessarily change in the sense that you want it to change, but it changed in another way of joy, happiness, love, and the miracle abilities will come. You can have these miraculous abilities, but why do they come? They come as fuel to use to make your soul go higher up. Just like you can take fuel and put it in a rocket. If you put not enough fuel, it can't cross gravity, because gravity pulls it down. So there's a gravity that holds us in the body and keep us, to some extent, protected from using these siddhis and riddhis, or what you call spiritual powers. But if you go all the way up, you can use the powers. But it's best not to use them without checking with your spiritually advanced teacher. And the best thing he can do is keep you from having them. Because people, when they get these powers, they want to make money and use them for, you know, healing people, make money.
What's the best way to find a teacher?
Okay. It's a very good question. I'll try to give you a simple answer. Seek, and you shall find. That's in all the holy books. I don't care if it's in the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita. Seek. Now, what is it about seeking? Seeking is asking questions just like you asking. And the person that you ask should be able to satisfy you, where you can't doubt that person too much. That person can be at a stage higher than yourself. Then you follow that person. And if you keep seeking, the Creator will eventually create a situation and a circumstance that's not in your control, where you will meet higher and higher levels of teacher, and you can meet the perfect teacher.
After this life, are you coming back, or are you going somewhere else?
I said to my teacher, he said, you can have a long vacation. You can enjoy yourself. You'll have real free will. Because when you go to that stage, you have free will based on knowledge. But if you want to leave and come back, you can create a good karmic destiny for yourself. It's like picking out a good film. Or you can pick out a film where you are a poor man. There have been poor mystics who have come to this world. I can give you the name of one. Ashtabaka. You never heard of him?
I haven't.
He had 8 humpbacks in his back. And there was a king who was extremely wealthy. His name was Janik. They both live in India. And Janik was an extreme seeker, fanatical seeker. So he would talk to his courtier, his ministers. He said, look, let's have a party. Let's invite all the religious people to come to this festival. We're going to feed them, and I'm going to disguise myself and walk around and see what they're saying. He had Hindu religion, Christian, Muslims, Chinese people, different kinds of faith, Sikhs. And they would end up arguing with each other about the scriptures. And some of them almost got into fights. So he was disappointed. He said to his chief ministers, you can't do nothing better than that. This made me depressed. He said, you don't know. He said, but there was one man by the name of Ashtabaka. He said, he didn't come. He said, no, he didn't come. He would not come to your party like this. He lives way out in the forest. He's meditating all the time on the Lord, enjoying himself. He has a few disciples that come and see him. He said, could we go? He said, yes. So he got on his carriage and they went. And that chief minister told him where to go. So when he went to meet Ashtabaka, he said, Ashtabaka, with tears in his eyes, I heard you can give me some real knowledge. He said, what looking for? He said, I want real knowledge. He said, well, didn't you have all these other religious people come? You know, they play games. Okay. He said, didn't they give you knowledge? He said, no, I got depressed. He said, well, you have another party and then I'll come. He said, okay. So Ashtabaka, with 8 humps in his back, looking ugly, okay? Like the hunchback of Notre Dame, except for one, he had 8. So he went to see the king. And when he came into the palace of the king, all of his courtiers and royal people dressed up and looking nice, he come there in like rags, you know, and 8 humps. And they start murmuring. And he looked and said, king, you got some merchants here? And the king said, no, these are my royal people. He said, well, they're more interested in some leather, my skin, than me. And so everybody got quiet. So this man is intelligent. And the king said, so Ashtabaka, come up here. He said, what do you want? I want to really know if there's a God. That's what I've been wanting to know. He said, okay, what else? I want to know instantly. I don't want you to tell me sit in meditation and go through all of this stuff. I want you to give me instant awareness. Can you do that? Ashtabaka said, yes. But tell me, what's your definition of an instant? He said, you see, I have a horse. And by the time I put my foot in the stirrup and get on top of the horse, that is an instant. He said, no problem. Everybody was looking now. How can this man give anything? He ain't got no money, broke. And he said, but I want 3 things from you, king. He said, what? Just name them. I want you to give me all of your wealth, all of your body, and all of your mind. And the king said, okay, I'll give it to you. He said, you giving it? He said, yes. I want you to get off the throne and go sit over here on the shoes that you had everybody take off their shoes and sit on. The king got up, went and sat on some shoes. And everybody said, what's wrong with the king? Is he going crazy? And the king started thinking. He said, king, you're giving me your body. Have you given me all your wealth? He said, yes. Everybody said, wow, we're going to lose our jobs. How are we going to live? And the king sat. And the king started thinking. I've given up my body. I don't have anything. I've given up my money. And he said, no, no, one thing you're not giving up. He said, what is that? You cannot even think, because the mind belongs to me now. So he said, I can't think. Anyone can think. He gave him the knowledge in an instant. And then he said, king, you can go back and sit on your throne. And the king was smiling and so happy. And he said, king, I don't need your wealth. I got tremendous wealth. The whole universe belongs to me. I can create wealth. I don't need it. I'm going to give it back to you. I don't need your body. I can create all these bodies that you see in here. I give the body back to you. And I do not need your mind. I give it back. But one condition. Whenever you use your wealth, know that it belongs to Ashtabaka. And you can use it thinking that it's my wealth. When you use your body, think that that body belongs to me. It's not your body. It's my body. When you use your mind, think it's my mind, not yours. Now you can go sit on the throne. And now you can go into meditation and you'll get it again.
Now, before this NDE, you were a world traveler, right?
Yes.
What kind of places did you visit?
I went to the Netherlands, Canada, France, England, Germany. All of the, most of the European countries. I went to Japan. I went to India. You know, many, Switzerland. I can't think of all of them, but I went around the world several times looking for the knowledge. I was extremely curious, and I got lucky and won on the trillion, I can't even put in a name or a spiritual lottery ticket. I won that ticket. I didn't know I was going to win it.
How would you compare all that knowledge to the NDE?
Like I said, knowledge can be created. I compare to love as being the highest type of wealth. Knowledge is, you can, it's useful, but the creator can create knowledge. It's not real, but it seems real to us. Love is more real because that's our nature. If you go close your eyes and sit down, Jeff, I don't know if you ever experienced loneliness, but depression and loneliness is connected. And people get so lonely, they kill themselves because it's a mental disease that they can't shake loose. And you find a lot of people who go into the military activity. Some went into Vietnam, some went into different kinds of wars, and they come back here. And I think they have a statistics. That 22 veterans kill themselves every day in America. Did you know that?
I didn't know the
numbers. You can't stand to see violence if you are a human being. If you're really human, you can't tolerate it.
What inspires you about your NDE?
What inspired me?
What inspires you about it?
The verificational aspect of the experience that my teacher gave me. Because I always look for evidence. And it's so certain, how can you get rid of the certainty? As you go higher and higher, you cross the mind because the mind creates doubt. So it was his love, his grace, his mercy that I value above knowledge, above everything else. Because the Lord, I discover, is extremely weak. He suffers from needing love. And he created different beings. And he said, this being will love me, I give him everything. This being will love me, I give him everything. Just want to love me a little bit, I give him something. When you love him to the extent where you don't care about yourself, you get everything.
After watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. I think you gave your email earlier, but can you give it again?
Yes. They can write their questions about food and nutrition and why is it necessary to eat food, which makes the attention concentrate easier in any area. Or they can write any question about anything at my email is profbrinson@gmail.com.
Professor, do you have anything that you're working on that you want us to know about?
I'm working on another book. I haven't finished publishing it yet. It'll be dealing with the death of Socrates, because Socrates was an extremely advanced spiritual mystic. And he was ordered to drink hemlock, as you recall in your philosophy class. And he was accused of corrupting the youth. And his prosecutor, Meletus, I believe his name was, who prosecuted Socrates for corrupting the youth and speaking of gods that they didn't believe in. And so when he put Socrates in the courthouse and had him on trial, Meletus, who was the prosecutor, realized that this man had not done anything. This was a frivolous law. So he came to Socrates and said, why don't you plea bargain? He said, why should I plea bargain? Well, if you plea bargain, you can avoid the death penalty. And we can just maybe give you a fine or put you on probation or give you a light jail sentence. So Socrates, I'll see when I get before the judge. So when he was with the judge said, did he offer you a plea bargain? He said, yes. He said, they offered me a plea bargain for corrupting the youth. And he said, judge, I don't want you to give me a plea bargain. Actually, I should get a reward for improving the citizenry. They thought he was crazy. He said, what I did was improve the citizenry. And the judge said, well, do you realize we can sentence you to drink this poisonous hemlock? He said, of course. So they made him drink the hemlock, and his friends were around him. I'm going to write something about that story. But the book deals with the pursuit of self-awareness. Wait a minute. Self-awareness and the pursuit of happiness. And we have written that into our Constitution. You know, everybody in America is in pursuit of liberty, happiness, and freedom, right? That's what we really want. All of us want that. So I'll write a book about that.
Now, you also have a book already out about natural recipes, right?
Yes. I have a book called The Food of Geniuses. How most of the geniuses in history, independently of knowing each other, if you go way back in time, they all ate plant-based food, strangely enough. But you don't have to. You can eat plant-based food and become a negative genius. Like Hitler ate plant-based food. He was a negative genius, right? But you want to become a positive genius. So the food can make your consciousness, if it's negative, concentrate and become good at it. You can become an excellent criminal, or you can become a highly advanced spiritual being. It can go in either direction.
Before we finish up, can you leave us with one last positive message?
I'll tell you a story of an old mystic. They asked him the same question. He was supposed to go to this town. And they said, sir, you travel all this way. Can you give us a positive message, one positive message? He said, what was it? Love one another. And he got off the stage. Fleecy locks and black complexion cannot forfeit nature's claim. Skin may differ, but affection dwells in black and white the same. Were I so tall as to reach the pole or to grasp the ocean at a span, I must be measured by my soul, for the mind is the standard of the man. Thank you, sir.
Professor Brinson, thank you for that message, and thank you for being my guest.
You're more than welcome. If you want me to come again, just let me know. All right?
All right. Have a good evening.
And give up eating that meat, okay? You can write us and get some information on how you can eat fish, hot dogs, everything made from plants. I'll show you how you can get them, okay?
There you go.
From Texas. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara Podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.